today on Real Radio.
You cannot trust God if you don't have faith in God. And you can't have faith in God unless you trust God. Well, then how does this cycle work? Are you ready? By God bringing you through hardships of life. You learn, Christian, that he's trustworthy, that he's faithful. He's going to do what he said.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter understood the times they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution. But Peter also understood how big our God really is and knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. We do live in an amazing time. Peter warns us that we will suffer hardship, sickness, even persecution. And the most important question a Christian can ask is, when our day of departure from this world comes, will we be ready? So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God gets all the blame for false doctrines that teach we're not supposed to suffer. Some preach that it's a lack of faith if we're going through trials. But you know, nothing could be further from the truth. And now in his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You're going to be a rotten doctor. You're going to be a rotten engineer. You're going to be a rotten whatever. Testing is what exposes where we're at. Testing exposes the place where we're at. It tells us if we're doing it, or it tells us if we need help. Are you with me? No teacher who loves their class gives them a test to kill them. I'm going to give you a test, and I'm praying all of you fail. And you, no teacher, every teacher wants the class to succeed. That's why they give a test. God gives us a test. It's fiery trials of life. You can't escape them, but there's a meaning, there's a purpose, there's a plan. Well, if God is God, then why is there suffering? Because he has a plan. If your God is a God of love, then why did this? Because he's got a plan. Yes, it takes faith to believe that, but it's not a blind faith. The entire Bible from cover to cover is all about our faith being strengthened and encouraged by the events and by the heroes and by the tragedies recorded in the Bible. But no student is surprised. And God is saying the same thing. Don't think it's strange regarding these fiery trials. The word fiery, mark it in your Bible. The word means intense heat, like a furnace or an oven. Intense heat. See, how does that translate into my life? Intense, overwhelming pressure in your life. I'm talking to the Christian. I said, Pastor, the last church I went to, they said if you accepted Christ, you'd have no problems. Well, that's not a New Testament church. The exact opposite's true. No, God says you are going to have these experiences of your life as though you were placed in an oven and somebody's turned it up to 400 or 1,000. Whatever it takes to melt gold is the plan in God's heart to make you moldable and pliable. God heats us up, and he does it through these fiery trials. It's remarkable. And he does so, by the way, like the school teacher, not to destroy the class. And he does it in your life not to destroy you. Now, look, let's be honest. I should announce this disclaimer up front. If you're a Christian today and you've robbed the bank and you got caught and you're going to go to court tomorrow, and you say, man, I don't know what God's doing in my life. You know what the answer is? Nothing. God is not doing anything in your life. That's how you got arrested by robbing a bank, and you're going to go to jail. May the judge throw the book at you. But I'm a Christian. May he throw two books at you. The book of law and the Bible, because clearly you're not reading it. Christian, you commit a crime? Go suffer. There's no mercy or grace for that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you, the one who loves God, and your life is difficult. You have relationship issues, and you don't understand why. There's things happening in your life. You're targeted at work, and you're like, what's going on? You can't figure it out. You've asked God to look at you, search you. God, show me. Have I missed something? You're in the midst of a fiery trial. You've gotten sick. The doctor, your white count is up. Something's wrong. God, where are you? I'm right here. He's saying to you, did you know that? May God help. May God heal America from this bizarre prostitution of Bible teaching, so-called, that tells you that you're not going to have any problems in life. That's the greatest way to disillusion people and cast them into darkness. They think they've got the truth. They've been lied to. And then when life hits them in the face, they think God hates them. God doesn't love me. He rejected me. God gets all the blame from false doctrine. These are evil days. You need to know that. You say, I want a positive message. This is positive. God says, I'm going to be with you in the furnace. I'll be with you. Now, some fiery trials, some difficulties where the pressure is on. By the way, if you've ever had that happen in life, you know, I don't know about you, we're all a little bit different, but some people are horribly affected in their bowels. When they get in an intense situation, they have stomach problems. Some people have other issues. For me, when I'm under intense fiery trial pressure, my first human reaction is I've noticed that the stress causes very shallow breathing. I'm wondering, and I do exactly what you do. How do I fix this? What's going on? Oh my goodness, what is it? What? And you're not even aware of it, but you begin to be almost like a plank. You know, like you're laying on your back in a plank with bricks or on your chest. You don't even realize it. So subtle. For some of you, it's other things. And then you realize, wait a minute, what's going on here? You're in the midst of a fiery trial. And God is at work. So some trials are like the heat of a microwave. They don't last long. It's quick. It could be something to where you're challenged by something in life. And it's over as quick as it comes. It could be today. Who knows in your life? There could be a fiery trial where someone, I'm making this up right now, obviously, but you people are happen to be watching you. They know that you're a Christian today and you're somewhere and the situation is somebody says, oh, you're a Christian, and they start insulting you and mouthing off and trying to provoke you to fight back or something. Maybe that would happen, and people are watching. And then it's as quick as it starts, it evaporates, and you were steadfast, and you passed the test, and you were patient in the midst of that moment. It could be something more, not like a microwave, but maybe more like a fiery trial of a crock pot. You know, crock pot is slow and takes time. It may take weeks, may take years, could be months where you're in this trial. God knows, and he's at work, he's working. The Bible says, Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job 23, 10, but he, listen to Job. Job says, but he knows the way that I take. Did you hear that? God knows the way that you take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as what, church? Gold. God heats up the issues of your life, causes you to become uncomfortable, and begins this process of you now having to check your bases, check your, what's going on? What's happened? And you will either fall right into faith, into the word of God, and hang on and get promises. You'll call friends and you'll say, Lord, give me some promises about endurance or about this or sickness. Give me some promises. And you'll find the word. You'll scrap for it. You'll look for it. Are you with me, everybody? Or you'll push back from God. And you'll say, what's up? What are you doing? And you have just failed your fiery trial. He said, well, Pastor, how do I not fail? And that's where we're going with this. How do I not fail these things as a believer when difficult things happen? You know, some of the things might be purely internal. C.S. Lewis, in his great book, it's a tough read, but it's a good book, The Problem of Pain. If you've never read that book, you should read it. C.S. Lewis writes, mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it is more common and also more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It is easier to say my tooth is aching than it is to say my heart is broken. Is that not true? Somebody can come up and slap you in the face. You'll get over it. But when your heart is breaking, that's a protracted sorrow. And God knows your sorrow today. See, but Jack, I'm a Christian, but I'm very sad about the way things have gone. God knows this. He's working. And he wants to work his promises into your life. And Peter's telling his audience that God is at work in their lives. In Psalm 34, verse 18 and 19, Psalm 34, I'm going to be giving you a lot of verses today, of course. These are for your comfort. Psalm 34, 18, the Bible says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Somebody say amen to that. Wow. This is a promise of God. Grab this verse. The Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Did you hear that? You need to see this. You need to know this. This is awesome. Many are the afflictions of the who? So wait a minute. I thought if I was righteous, I wouldn't have afflictions. You didn't get that from the Bible. You walk with God and you are going to be afflicted, but not without hope. The Bible tells us here that it's something native to the righteous. You say, how am I righteous? I think you know how you're righteous, right? The Bible says you're declared righteous by God because you're trust in him. You and I could never become righteous of our own efforts. God declares you righteous because of the blood of Christ. He loves you. You're his child, and he declares you to be righteous. All in his family are declared righteous by his work. And he says, you're going to have affliction. This world is going to be hostile toward you. Maybe you've just made a profession of faith, and your friends now are attacking you. You're in a trial. Maybe you're a long-seasoned saint, and you think you've seen it all. And then news comes to you, and you're tested again. Listen, from this moment on to the day that either A, you and I are raptured up into the sky to meet Christ, or B, God meets you on the hospital bed or wherever you're at, God's call is for you and I to increase our faith in him, our trust in him. So much so, you'll see in a moment what that really means. But this term, remember, that preface everything is about God calling you beloved. He actually loves you. It's his nature to love you. It's the hardest thing in the world, is it not, to love people and to be expressing love back, even when we intend to. It's clumsy. We try to figure out how this goes. In human love, there's always a precarious way about it. And is this right or is that right? And are these feelings and are these commitments true? And you'll never know. You'll never know until you get to the end. You know what I'm saying? So, well, that's not very encouraging for us couples. Yeah, it is. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll make it to the end. It's very important. Having faith in what he's doing. Jesus put it this way. And I tell you, listen to this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus put it this way. That as Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Listen, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, look, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Is that amazing? Everybody. Look what it says, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The word compassion here means that his guts, he got pains in his gut. That's what that word means in the Greek. Jesus looked at the people. Now, note the moment. All had been healed. All had been blessed by his ministry. Then he looks at all the people, and Jesus' guts are troubled. Why? The Bible says, because he saw them as sheep scattered. They're weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Isn't that amazing? They're all physically healed, but internally, they're broken. You can be healthy today, so healthy today, and be broken on the inside. And Jesus looks at you, and his guts have compassion for you, and he looks at you and he says, I see you weary. I see you scattered because you have no shepherd. Suffering opens you up to the realities of God. You would never know the depth of his comfort without the great pain of suffering. And you would say, who would sign up for this? Of course, nobody signs up for this. You don't have to. But all you have to do Listen, all you have to do is to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to experience affliction. So come forward now and accept the Lord Jesus. The buses will wait. Seriously, verses, as a non-believer, you're going to suffer in this world, and you're going to have the same diseases and cancers all of us have, same issues of relationships and same problems of finances, and you have no one to cry to. You have no one to go to. You have no hope and understanding that God is going to tell you in a moment in this Bible study, I got this. You don't have that. And maybe that's going on in America today, in Europe, why so many people are killing themselves. It's because the culture has banished God from the minds of men. More than ever, God is needed in our public square and in our children's lives, in our high schoolers, college campuses, in our marriages. Husbands need to know how God would have us to love our wives and vice versa. Amen. Humanity seemingly is adrift without God. But the Christian has got an anchor. And Jesus turns to us and says, I want to shepherd you. The next thing we see in verses 12 to 13 is the fact that we need to have faith in God's appointments. God has absolute appointments in your life. It says in verse 12, as though some strange thing, that is these things, meaning that has happened to you. You, strange. Look at the word. It's a different word, strange, here. This word, xenos, means strange thing, meaning an invader. The word strange here is an invader, not some surprise. That's a different word. That's the word that appeared earlier. This is a second different word translated in English, sadly, strange, with a different meaning. Don't think it's some invading thing that has happened to you. It's not only a surprise, it's an invader. How could this be? Thought I was a Christian and this happens to me? Yes. Listen. In Proverbs, great verse, great. You can go down to the Hallmark store and get this verse on a card. It's awesome. But look at it carefully. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Everybody, look. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So first word from God to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's number one. Number two, lean not on your own understanding. Three, in all your ways acknowledge him. Okay? Equals comfort. He shall direct your paths. Do those three things, he'll take care of it. Is that true or false? This is true. Number one, watch this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why do you think the word trust is there first? Because listen, without faith, it ain't gonna work. Faith in God. You cannot trust God if you don't have faith in God. And you can't have faith in God unless you trust God. Well, then how does this cycle work? Are you ready? By God bringing you through hardships of life. You learn, Christian, that he's trustworthy, that he's faithful. He's going to do what he said. We panic. We jump from the fire pan into the fire rather than wait on the Lord. But if we wait, trust the Lord with all of my heart is God's command to me. Now watch this. Second, lean not on your own understanding. Why does the Bible say that? Because you and I, that's what we do. When we don't trust God, we go on our own initiative and we're gonna get the answer. It works like this. Whoa, what happened? I don't get it. What? No way. Oh my goodness. Wow, what am I gonna do about this? Watch me. What am I gonna do? What? I gotta figure out how to fix this. Oh my gosh. I go to church. No, God, what? Wait, hey, are you watching this? What are you doing? You're leaning on your own understanding. How do I figure this out? You know, there's things that in life God will engineer where your faith has got to be so stretched, he'll see to it. Listen, no one can figure it out. No one can understand it. You'll go to every counselor. You'll go to every ministry. You'll go to church to church to church trying to find an answer, and everyone comes up empty in their advice to you. Did you know that God is in that? He wants you not to trust in church, some pope or pastor. He wants you to trust in him. And he says, lean not on your own understanding. Stop trying to work it out yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, every step, God, lead me. Today, this morning, lead me. And let him intervene. But avoid this because, man, it's just us. We have got to work it out. Listen, the reason why you may struggle with insecurity if you do to whatever level, it's because insecure people have got to be in control. That's how they mitigate their insecurity, is believing or thinking in their own understanding, I'm in control, so I feel better about what's going on. It's delusional. Are you with me? You're fooling yourself. You're not in control. But when you don't trust God, someone's got to be trusted. And what fills that gap? Me, myself, and I, the great Trinity of Jack. I'll take care of it. I'll consult with myself. We've got the answer. This is what we're going to do. And God's not in it. When you turn to him, he'll answer. And there's appointments. When it looks like an invader's coming into your life, all these things from the outside. No, just know this. And to me, you guys, I got to tell you, this next verse excites me so much. I want to just, what's the word? Ruminate, marinate. I want to stew. I want to soak in this. And I hope you do too. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Verse 13, get your pen ready. God has his appointments. It says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Look carefully. Look. See the word rejoice? Circle it. See the word extent? Circle that. See the word partake? Circle that. And do you see the word sufferings? Circle that. Why? This statement's the key. The Christian who almost sees his very existence as an accident, nerve-wracked, worried, terrified about what tomorrow might bring, is not understanding that simple sentence, but I pray from this moment forward, your life will be changed forever. Are you ready? Number one, rejoice. The word means to be glad at what you see or what you hear. Listen, the context is not good news. Say, okay, Jack, this is nuts. Just hang on. To be glad at what you see or hear, to greet with gladness, to jump up with joy at the opportunity to say hello or to welcome it or them, whatever it may be. Number one, rejoice. Say, are you kidding me? A fiery trial? That's right. God says, when you realize it's a fiery trial, get up and rejoice by greeting it. This flies in the face of our emotions right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 1. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And when you pray, keep the conversation going. God loves to hear from you. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, to say we are a Christian is to say that our identity is in Christ. We're not Christians because our parents were Christians. Christianity is not automatically passed down from generation to generation. Peter heard it right from Jesus himself that a true believer is known by the way they live and the way they love. So, if you're wondering if you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, or wondering if your life reflects the kind of love that the Bible teaches about, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab there that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn that being a true Christian is to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. You'll also see some steps that you can take right away, and you'll also find a place where you can email us if you have any further questions. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.